Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire, presented by Finished MMA and the United Way Merced.
It's your boy Sloan Bone of the Mo Thugs Movement, part of the Bone Thugs and Harmony family tree, the 86ers brand ambassador. Check it out though, listen. In the world full of followers, be proud to be different. Be an 86er. So what I need y'all to do is go to the 86ers.net. We got the dopest apparel, men and women. Everything you need for a fresh start. I'm talking tees, zip-ups, tanks, hoodies, and the best hats at a price nobody can match. I'ma ask you this though. What do your clothes say about you? If you don't know, come to the 86ers.net and find yourself out. And a special shout out to Don McGuire, the host of The Fighter's Voice. Salute, big homie.
Just my children and my wife. Thank my lucky stars to be living here today. 'Cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
Welcome to The Fighter's Voice. I'm your host, Don McGuire. I apologize for my voice tonight, but as many of you know, I've been under the weather for quite a while now, but the show must go on. You know, my first guest tonight, Shelley Williams, is a tremendous soul, a unique individual. If you just get an opportunity to meet one person like that in your lifetime, you're very, very fortunate. You know, I look at life as a blessing, and God puts people in our path to either better us or just hold us up. And you know, when you look at Shelley, that's what you truly see. You see a rare individual, and it's the heart, the compassion, and the respect for humanity, and that's a rarity nowadays. With that being said, I want to welcome Shelley Williams. Shelley, how are you doing?
Hi, Don. Thank you so much for having me on the show again tonight. Okay, you're already starting me out with tears. Thank you for the love. I appreciate it. And excuse my voice, too. I've had a little cold this week. But I'd like to say something really quickly, if you don't mind, Don. To the listeners out there, I don't know if you know or don't know that Don has been fighting diabetes and cancer and many other very, very serious maladies for 26 years now. And I just watched his post on Facebook where he was bringing all of his friends and fans up to date on his medical status. And it brought me to tears, and I got down on my knees and I prayed for him. And I asked God, why is it that these bottom feeders have everything in the world, health and everything in the world, and someone like Don, who's just such a treasured soul, has to suffer like this? And I sat there for a minute and waited for the answer. And what I felt in my heart, God put in my heart, is that Don shows people what a real fighter is. He handles this with grace. He accepted my assignment to suffer the way that he suffered, to show others the way, so that when they witness what he's going through, and then it happens to them down the line, because very few of us get out of this life here on planet Earth without a big malady knocking us down and knocking some of us out, and some of us never come back. But they're going to look back on him, and they're going to know how to handle it themselves, and then they'll pass it on to the next person and for generations to come. That's what came to my heart from the Lord tonight for Don McGuire. So glad you're feeling a little bit better, Don, and I'm glad you're here. And so let's talk some boxing.
You most definitely. You know, I think you're the first guest that's ever brought a tear to my eye on my show.
I'm just giving it back to you because you made me cry. So, okay, we're even now.
Yeah, we're even now. You know, we talk of darkness, and we talk about the struggles in life, and we truly share who we are. You know, and I look at you, and I know your family pedigree and the boxing background and everything that is involved with you. But if you really look into you, you get this picture from Mike Weaver to Leon Spinks to you name it. The fighters appreciate you. The fighters respect you. They lean on you. What does that mean for Shelley Williams, a woman who has been a part of the sport, to get so much love and so much respect back from the sport?
You know, Don, it means everything to me. I don't have any family, and they have become my family to me, especially the young kids coming up. I just kind of take on that. I guess I get my motherly thing going to nurture and take care of these kids, and I'm usually wagging my finger at them for one thing or another, and they look at me and they roll their eyes back like, oh God, here she goes again. But many of them have come back to me 30 years later and said, you know, do you remember when you told me this or that? And sometimes I remember, sometimes I don't. And they say, we remembered that and we did that and it really helped. I thought, well, okay, good. Somebody listened to me. Some listen, some don't, but it means the world to me to receive the love and mostly the respect of the fighters, the male fighters, the female fighters. They've given me family structure. I've got wonderful, wonderful friends that are my family, not of blood, but of choice. But to receive the love of the boxers, it's important. It was something that, as a child growing up, I just sat on my daddy's lap and we watched the Gillette Friday Night Fights, and it was our daughter-daddy time together. Then when I grew up and moved along in life and went to work for law firms for 25 years, and then I somehow boxing came back into my life. It just did. And then my dad and I started going to fights together, and it's just the most precious memories. And I know he's got a ringside seat, and he's watching all of us down here. We're all going to be okay.
Yeah. You know, I'm a philosophical kind of guy in life, and you know, anybody can learn anything on the internet, and you know, 10 minutes of searching. And you write down those questions and you get such a scripted show and you get such a scripted life, and nobody really gets to know any more than they already knew. You know, and I think I like the diversity of being able to bring a side of that person on my show and let the world get a better glimpse into who they truly are. Your father was a tremendous man, and each time you talk about him, you could see your heart smile.
Yeah. His name was Leo Williams, and he was the best daddy ever, for sure.
You know, it's one thing that I hold very near and dear in my heart. So, Shelley, when you walk in a gym, let's say, hypothetically, you walk into a gym, and you're the only one there, and you look at the ring, and for a brief moment, your life passes before your eyes in a reflection, a thought, a feeling. What do you see or feel?
Probably the first thing that I see, and definitely the first thing I feel, is I wondered who was in the center of that ring with an opponent and shared his blood so that we could all be in pain. Probably that would be the first thing. And I look at the equipment and the old horsehair gloves or horsehair headgear, and I just think back of the great, great, great old-timers. You know, I'm all about the old-timers, the old-school fighters, many of whom have passed since I got the opportunity to meet them within the last 30 years. And I thank them from the bottom of my heart for all the love and their life that they gave to us, because while they were doing it, they were at the pinnacle. Everything was wonderful. The money was flowing. The lights were on, the cameras, the action, and they were stars. Then one day, with one too many punches, their memory was gone. They slurred their words. They couldn't remember who was standing in front of them, and nobody cared anymore. And what I always try to share to these kids, I beg them, get in, get out. If you have to do this, get in, get out, get your belt, defend it once if you have to, then leave so you still have brain cells left, so you can talk to your grandchildren. And they look at me with their head kind of half cocked, like, why is she telling me this? I'm only 21 years old. They can't look past their nose at what is waiting for them in the future in any type of combat sport, be it Brazilian jiu-jitsu, just the MMA, the boxing, whatever it happens to be. So I just would implore anybody that has anything to do with the fighter to sit them down, teach them the business side of it, first and foremost, how to protect themselves at all times in the ring and on paper, and set them down the right path in life, because their life is in your hands.
Yeah. You know, James Lights Out Tony.
Yes.
Came on my show. He's been on my show many times, and I too hold the past very relevant. And he came on my show one time, and he said, "Dandy, Dandy, Dandy Don," and I didn't like the name. I didn't like the moniker. But with James Lights Out Tony, if he gives you a moniker, you accept it. And
yes.
You appreciate it.
Because if he didn't like you, he wouldn't have done that. You know,
exactly.
James. He's the best. Love
but,
that kid.
Oh, but it brings me to
Dandy Don.
Yeah.
Oh, you know I'm going to call you that from now on just to annoy you.
I'm good with it. But there's a person in life and in sport that truly was a great aspect, friend, brother in my life, a man who left great meaning, and he is in your life as well, and he has fallen on much harder times than I could ever fall on, and that being Leon Spinks.
Yes.
And you have a special relationship with Leon. What does it mean? I know what it means, but the world doesn't know what it means to have a special bond with Leon Spinks.
I've been blessed to know Leon for, gosh, close to 30 years probably, when he was up, when life was good. And, you know, the thing about it is, Leon hasn't changed one iota that whole time. Not one iota. He is ill, and that's changed. But Leon, in his heart and soul, Leon's still Leon. He'll flash. He can be sitting there with a grimace on his face for whatever reason, and then you would say something, and his little eyes start sparkling, and that big Leon Spink smile comes out. You know he's in there. And I guess the one thing that I would tell people, when they get ready to pick a spouse, especially if they're a fighter, pick one like Brenda Spinks, who I can't tell you how she takes care of him, how she loves him, how she nurtures him day in and out. This is a 24/7 job. When fighters get to this point, it's no joke. I watched Rose Norton take care of Ken Norton in the same way. And I thought, boy, what about the fighters who have wives that were there for the glory days, but not so much when they fall on hard times like this. So people, think twice before you pick a spouse. I guess it would go for any of us though, right, Don? Not just of a fighter, because we're all going to get old and get sick at some point, you know? I know I was getting old trying to get up off my knees praying for you earlier, and I couldn't hardly get up off my old self up the rug to get back up.
You.
I said, okay, that getting down on my knees stuff's got to go. I'm just going to have to just pray in a sitting position from now on.
Well, I know. Things are just like they used to be, are they? You know?
Yeah. I'm pushing 70 now, and I thought, oh, Lord, they didn't tell me about this part in the beginning. At least I can laugh at myself.
Well, it's all been good fun. You know, you bring up such a good message to the youth, and I just want to kind of share a story and maybe get your thought, because it's so relevant to what you were speaking on. I had the Harlem Butcher on my show. Mm-hmm. And to be able to bring a fighter on my show and make him feel special is one thing. Mm-hmm. But the part that nobody hears, the part that nobody sees, is how they're forgotten.
Yes.
And that tears me up inside. And people say, Don, why do you bring on these older fighters and share their stories? Because they are forgotten. Most of them forgotten by their own sport that they mm-hmm. dedicated their life to. And to get that brief moment on that soapbox and to feel special.
Yes.
It makes a world of difference. It creates such change.
Yes.
And, you know, the Harlem Butcher told me, he said, tomorrow morning everybody in Harlem is going to know who you are.
Aw.
And that made me realize that the show is special.
It is. A labor of love on your part.
Well, it's not about me. You know, I reached out. This is so much research I do for my show. And I know you probably know who this gentleman is, but I was able to bring Joey Giambra Sr., the Uncrowned Champion, on
yes,
my show.
Yes.
88 mm-hmm. years old.
And bless his heart.
For him to tell stories about how he had won a fight and Marilyn Monroe had a crush on him.
Well, he was a looker now. I don't doubt that for a minute.
And as the story was told, he said that she kind of got a little too cozy with him, and Joe DiMaggio didn't really like that, and some words were exchanged. You know, you look
lucky
back
for Joe, no punches were exchanged.
Oh, most definitely. Because you and I both know the only reason Joey Giambra never became a true world champion is because he refused to take a fall. Mm-hmm. And
sometimes being a people's champion is a better thing to be.
Oh, most definitely. You know, you look at life and you look at the sport. How much change have you seen, Shelley? And do you think that the newer fighters should recognize the warriors, the gladiators, that created the pathway to where they are today?
Yes, I do. And I do believe that most of them do, especially if you bring it to mind to them, because they're so busy trying to make their own way. That's why I so enjoy going to the different halls of fame of the country, because you have the mixed bag. You have all the old school legends that are so revered and so adored by people. And when these kids come and they see that, they think, I one day want to be at that podium being inducted into a hall of fame for all of my efforts, just like him. And some of them they hold them up almost like movie stars. They want to be like them, and they emulate everything that they say and do, which is why fighters have to be very careful about how they handle themselves, because kids are watching you. That's how I feel about it.
Yeah. You know, we each have our own special memory from the sport. Each have our own fight, our perpetual look into the sport as a whole. What would you say is truly most invoked you, Shelley, and keeps continuing to draw you into the sport that we both love so much?
I wish I knew the answer to that one, Don. I don't have the answer to that one. All I know, it's just a feeling. I think probably for me, it's grounded in my father and the love that he had of the sport, and spending those special father-daughter times as a child, and then throughout the years, taking him then to the big fights and watching him just glow, and then telling all his golf buddies about it the next day. They couldn't understand why a girl was in the fight game like Leo's daughter, but he got a big kick out of it. Somehow, some way, I've tried to leave this sport more than once. I have. When you just fighting, and trying to climb your way up at being a woman in a man's world, it's tough. You have to have a special set of guacamoles to do that. And I would sometimes just try to throw in the towel and say, no, that's it, I'm done. And something sucks me back in every time. And then once I'm in that situation with whomever I'm dealing with, then I realize why, and that God's in control of all of this. So I just roll with the punches and go with the flow. Whatever, wherever he guides me, that's where I go.
That's why you're in my life, because you're always optimistic. You're always true to who you are, and such a giving soul in life.
Well, Don, I'm not always optimistic. There's times when I'm not so optimistic, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
It's tough, but I've found the strength from somewhere. I don't know where. Who knows? I guess we won't know till we get to the other side the meaning of all of this. But I do believe people are brought into our path for a reason or a season or forever. When I was going through what you're going through now with your health, people scattered like rats. They were gone. But the few that stayed, those precious few, they're still with me 28 years later. And they're my dearest, dearest, most trusted friends. So who knows why anything? We're just here on earth to do the best that we can. and to love each other. It's pretty simple.
Amen to that. You know, because I used to call it my circle of friends, and now I call it my dot. And, you know, it's crazy, everybody thinks.
Your dot.
It is. It's my dot. But, you know, the thing about it is people, because we're both so heavily involved in this sport, and people think that we are so outgoing and this and that. But I don't know how it really is for you, but I'm really, I love Fight Weekend. I thrive off of it. I live off of it. But in reality, when I'm not at the events, I'm a man of content just being by myself. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not a man of very many friends. I don't have very many over my house. You know, because when you spend each and every weekend in front of thousands of people, you just need a little place, I guess, to call your own. And it's truly how I walk my walk. But 2020 has devoured, you know, life as I knew it. And I'm only 56.
Oh, you're just
here
a baby.
You were a little bit, just a couple of years older than me.
But yeah, I feel.
How would you say that you, how have you looked at 2020 and how have you not let it change who you are as an individual and then as a person of faith?
Well, I think you block the faith of just about every person on planet Earth if they were honest about it. The virus, for me, I like to go to the fights and I like to go to the halls of fame and do that sort of thing, but I'm really a homebody. I'm an only child. I have no family now. And cousin just recently passed from COVID, so it's the whole thing is very upsetting to me. It hasn't changed my life very much, but I've watched it bring the whole world to its knees. And that makes me so sad. I guess it separates the men from the boys and the men from the women. I don't know. We just all have to carry on. This will go away someday. And I think that it's made us stop in our tracks and maybe appreciate the little things and the family that we do have, to appreciate them every single day, because tomorrow you just never know. And so I think that we got so selfish and self-absorbed that the big guy upstairs said, let me teach you a little bit about how you should really be acting and really be there for each other, really love each other, not just giving lip service. And I think that that's what it's done. The civil unrest has shown us that we need to take a look at how we treat people and act more kind and loving to every single person, no matter what. It's brought upon so many good things coupled with so many bad things. And we'll never forget 2020. Probably we won't forget 2021 either, but we will come out of this. We'll all be just fine.
Amen. You know, a tremendous fight just happened. Well, they're happening more and more, but Errol Spence, a man mm-hmm. who's been away for 14 months, rolled out of his car after, or was thrown from his car after a car wreck, stepped back in with Danny Garcia. And I don't care if you're an Errol Spence fan or not, or if you think he won the fight or not, but for the man to come back from what he did and to come back in mm-hmm. such, in my opinion, as a true champion, this last weekend.
Oh, sure.
It was,
he showed what he had.
Glorious for me.
He's kind of like Vinny Pazienza was back in our day, you know? Remember all he went through, and he came back, and I was like, jeez, wow. Talk about a fighter. Mm-hmm. On so many levels. So many levels.
Kind of like you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I appreciate that, but Errol Spence is a tremendous kid, and I think he's got a great future. And you bring up Vinny Paz. One of my most craziest shows in boxing had Vinny Paz hands on. if you know Vinny and he likes you and he knows he's in the limelight, he's going to give you a razzing. And I got the grunt of that show. You know, as you know, Barry used to be my co-host on the boxing show. And, you know, Barry was just egging him on to razz me that much more. But Vinny Pazienza is such a tremendous man. You know, I'm glad you brought it up. Because, see, sitting here talking about these things with you, it just made me realize the first time and the last time I met Muhammad Ali.
Mm.
And
what was that like?
Rope-a-dope. Huh?
Mm-hmm. That rope-a-dope.
Yeah, he did the rope-a-dope, and then he leaned over and gave me a kiss on my forehead.
He handed
me a book of the Muslims.
And wow.
He had autographed one side of it. To kind of bring this show 360 and kind of give people an interpretive view of life. 20 years later, I came to Missouri. I met a man named Leon Spinks, a man who fought Muhammad Ali.
Yeah.
And he signed the other side. He signed the other side of the Book of Muslims that Muhammad Ali gave me.
How priceless. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, I've been offered countless amounts of money, and there's no amount of money in the world
that can replace
that article.
Under glass and treasure it forever. Wow. What a gift.
Yeah. Well, I'll probably donate it to a museum when I go,
yeah.
But, you know, just the sheer idea that you could watch these two greats, you could shoot these two greats in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end of life, the life cycle, it comes 360.
It does.
And that's such a beautiful moment and a beautiful aspect of life. Shelley, if you could share one aspect that you would say from the sport that has truly cemented who you are and created and gave you the wisdom and the knowledge that you have to love this sport and to give back to it the way you do, what would that statement be?
Probably my being blessed with being able to meet the legends, the old school fighters, and some of them were very, 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 very old at that time, and learning how important it is to sit quietly and listen to them as they take a walk down memory lane and tell you the story of their life. And they may have told you that same story over and over and over again, but listen intently every single time because it's bringing them back to a moment where they felt significant and loved and revered. And they probably no longer feel that way. So we must just take them and bring them up and raise them high. That's how I would feel about that at this juncture of my life. What I enjoy the most is spending time with the old school legends, our warriors of yesteryear that are forgotten.
Yeah. So true. You know, I'm going to bring on Scotty the Bulldog Olsen here in a second, but I've got one more question for you.
Mm-hmm.
If you had to dig back deep in your heart. And look up at the sky and say a word of thanks and appreciation to your Father. What would those words be?
That'll make me quiet again. Probably just, thank you, Daddy, I did it. And then he'd give me that wink he always gave me. That would be...
The smallest things are the most priceless things. Mm-hmm. Shelley, would you like to stay on for a little bit longer and ask the Bulldog a couple questions?
Oh, sure. Love Scotty. He's the best.
Yeah. What I'm going to do, I'm going to replay my commercial because I have to go to a dedicated line because Scotty doesn't live in our country, so I'm going to play... Yeah, I'm going to play the 86ers commercial real quick, and then when we come back, we'll have Scotty Olsen on the line.
Awesome.
What up? It's your boy Sloan Bone of the Mo Thugs Movement, part of the Bone Thugs and Harmony family tree, the 86ers brand ambassador. Check it out, though. Listen, in a world full of followers, be proud to be different. Be an 86er. So what I need y'all to do is go to the 86ers.net. We got the dopest apparel, men and women. Everything you need for a fresh start. I'm talking tees, zip-ups, tanks, hoodies, and the best hats at a price nobody can match. I'm going to ask you this, though. What do your clothes say about you? If you don't know, come to the 86ers.net and find yourself out. And a special shout-out to Don McGuire, the host of The Fighter's Voice. Salute, big homie.
Hey, Scotty, you there, brother?
Yes, sir, Don.
On the line with is the one and only Shelley Williams.
Oh, Shelley, my goodness.
If you'd like to say
hi, Scotty.
Hey, Shelley, how are you?
It's my honor to be on a show with the Bulldog.
Oh, it's, no, that honor is completely all mine. I've been so excited to hear your voice tonight. It's just lovely. You made me very happy tonight. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, honey.
Wow.
Me as well.
Oh, yes. Oh, thank you very much. Thank you. That's nice. Nice not to be completely forgotten about. And Don's done a tremendous job keeping some fighters in a little bit of the limelight still. And I've really appreciated Don for that. And with everything else he's done, and what you have done in boxing, you've done everything in boxing, I think. All of it.
Yeah, except step in the ring like you did. I never did do that.
That's the minor part. Trust me, it's behind the scenes, and it's all the agent work and promoting and publicist stuff. You know, that's all amazing stuff. Yeah, you've done it all. Yeah.
Yeah, it takes a village. It does.
Oh, yeah.
It takes a village.
I'm going to turn Shelley into a mutual show host for a minute here, and I'm going to pass her the mic and give her the opportunity to ask the first couple questions of the Bulldog this evening. If you don't mind, Shelley.
Oh, I don't mind at all. Scotty, tell me, of all of your illustrious career, and you are definitely, a great champion, and you're revered and respected by everybody in the United States and your homeland of Canada. Looking back over your career, tell me the one thing that stands out in your mind most as your most beloved moment.
Excellent question, Shelley. Holy cow. Well, I'm just honored that you asked me a question. This is amazing. When I'm looking back in my career, I have a lot of, Ray Mancini had a quote and he said, "I never considered myself a great fighter, but I was a great fighter who had a lot of great moments." And my moments were pretty good. When I won the United States Championship, the USBA belt, and the IBO World title, and going back as an amateur fighter, representing my country of Canada at that time, or still am, but having won the Commonwealth Games gold medal when people didn't think I was going to accomplish that. So all of the attention was focused on Lennox Lewis and some of the other bigger fighters, and I rose to the occasion and I won that tournament, and that was a big tournament for me. And hearing "Oh Canada" kind of come up, I didn't get that chance in the Olympics. So when "Oh Canada" was being played and the flag went up, that was a highlight. Yeah.
Oh. I would have just cried like a baby. Did you cry? Did you wait till you got to your hotel that night?
No, I was on that thing.
See what happens when you have a girl ask a question.
That is so funny because, I watch movies now, and I can watch a movie, and it can be like I watch a lot of them because I have two daughters and my wife, and we watch movies, and then the music comes, right? And the music, mm-hmm. along with how they're acting, and then I just get tears. So when the flag was going up and the music came on for "Oh Canada," like, I'm just bawling. I'm the only fighter in the whole tournament that cried on the podium.
That's okay.
And I was just bawling my eyes out. They replayed it in Canada. It's a station like CBC or CTV. Anyway, Canadian Broadcasting Company, and they'd replay this of me crying my eyes out on the podium. So I had to suck that up with all of my teammates for quite some time.
Did you do the ugly cry?
Yeah. Well,
we all have an ugly cry. That face we make is like, ooh. How many years did your amateur career span, Scotty, before you went to the Commonwealth Games and won the medal?
That was about 8 years. It was 8 years.
That's a culmination of a lot of time.
Yeah. I put everything into it, and I was really supported by my family, and I was, unfortunately, in some ways, I became quite obsessed with boxing and trying to achieve something, and I had a lot of people that, just weren't on my page, where my family thought I could do almost anything I wanted, but the outside boxing circles, I don't think they really thought I could rise to any specific level, and I was able I was just really blessed. Really blessed, and I was able to have some really good wins and some great tournaments, and my hat's off to my former amateur trainer. It was Paul Forty, and he only let me fight about 10 amateur fights a year, and 10 amateur fights a year is not very much, because you go into a tournament, you have two or three or four fights, and then so he don't let me fight a few times a year to make sure that I didn't damaged, so that I could have a life after boxing. So it was really special. So I only ended up with 80 fights, 80 amateur fights, as opposed to like 200 or 300 like some of these other amateur fighters that turn pro have.
You know what? Having said that, one of the most important things that I learned when I was new in this game and I was doing matchmaking is to always ask the question, because they will never share with you, "Oh, yes, my kid's a pro debut pending. However, he had 250 amateur fights, and he was gold medalist, you know. That is something that is so important. And people just don't ask the question. I was always amazed. And then if I was managing the fighter or whichever the situation, I wore many hats, they would get so annoyed when I asked that question. Why is that? You're just protecting your kid. And just like you were so blessed to have somebody who really, really cared about you, Scotty. Because look at you now. You're fine. You wouldn't have been had he not entered your life, probably.
Oh, that's
is he still
that
alive?
I would have had a long time. No, he actually passed away in 1990. It's been quite a while. So he was able to get to the Olympics and work my corner for the Olympics. And then shortly afterwards, the next year and a half, were not very good. Weren't good physically with his health. And he declined and ended up passing away in 1990. And it was the 88 Olympics that I was able to go to. So he worked my corner, though. And, there was some special moments. I won the Commonwealth Games, so I figured, well, I might as well win the Olympics too. And when that didn't happen, it was crazy because I knocked out a guy from like Indonesia, so not the boxing capital of the world, but I beat him. And then I beat Wayne McCullough. And then I was able to get to the quarterfinal, and then I lost to Carbajal by decision there. So, and it'd been about the third or fourth time I'd fought him up to then.
Carbajal was a tough cookie. And Wayne McCulloch, wow. Yeah. To beat Wayne McCulloch, he's a tough Irishman. Hard head. Love that guy.
Oh, my God. Wayne's the best. I gave him a couple 8 counts in the first round and with body shots, and I hurt him pretty good in the first round. Then the second round comes, and I do really well in the second round, too. Third round comes, like, I've given him everything I had. I'm positive that he won the third round. The guy just kept coming. He never stopped.
Yeah.
And it was ridiculous.
It was like Julio Cesar Chavez. He was just the energizer bunny. Just keeps on coming.
Lots of props to Wayne. Now you're a tough cookie.
Hey, you know, Scotty, I want to give you a bad time just for a moment. You know, you put the information out there. We had spoke about this on many occasions. You know, Your right hook was always a dominant aspect. And then you threw a left hook for your brother, Chris Johnson. And you actually realized you could throw a left hook. How much did that change your fight IQ from that point moving forward, realizing that you did have such utilization of a left hook?
Yeah, thanks for the question, Don. Holy cow. When I look back at it, I was knocking out so many guys with the right hand, and to the point where if I even blinked, they would duck. It was getting harder and harder to catch guys with my right hand because it was a bit vaunted at that time. Nobody wanted to get hit with that one. So, and then all of a sudden, I developed I took more time with my left side with my trainer at that time when I first turned pro, Richie Sandoval. And he just did a great job, and he was all about left hooks. So we kept working on it. And when I finally started dropping guys with left hooks and the left body shots and liver shots, and when they started to go down, I didn't feel as one-dimensional as I really felt I was, because if I don't land this right hand, I'm going to lose the fight. So, and then all of a sudden I have a left hook now. Well, that just increased my chances of getting to somebody by like 100%. So that was, it was nice to have a secondary punch to throw that I could get somebody in trouble with, for sure.
I'm just sitting back.
You had quite an arsenal. You were like Wayne. You just kept on coming forward. I remember watching you over the years. beast. You were a beast.
Oh, Shelly, that's thank you. You're a sweetheart.
Speaking truth, young man.
Right? And I'm really loving this because I've got the best of both worlds on this show, you know, right now. And it's tremendous for me because this is what it's about, you know, sitting back looking at the sport that we all love and have dedicated all of our being to. You know, Scotty, we look at certain aspects in our careers and, you know, there's pivotal moments for us and there's moments that we could say that defined us. And, you know, for you, I look back at your fight with Alberto Cantu and, you know, here you are, a young and up-and-comer. And I think it's like your sixth or seventh fight, you step out and you fight a journeyman.
Yeah.
How much did that moment create the warrior that you were to walk forward? Because it's those defining moments that give us the courage that we need to move forward or develop us or give us an idea of what we can bring to the sport. And I think that's what you took away from that fight. What would you say is your assessment of the Alberto Cantu fight, and what did you take away from it?
Well, that sure brings back some memories. I'm glad, you know, I'm really blessed to have some long-term memory. My short-term stuff is a little iffy at times, and the long-term memory has been good. And when I think about the Cantu fight, well, it was pretty special because we fought in a brand newly built university here in Edmonton, and we brought him up and fought him in Edmonton. And I knew he was. See, they were bringing in guys that were once in a while. They'd bring in some guys, and of course, I was fed a few guys that I tried to carry a little bit and have some fun with, get some television time, and enjoy myself and just enjoy my day in the sun. With Cantu, I knew that if you were had a 20 and 10 sort of a record coming from Mexico in my weight division, you know, you're probably stepping into a win with a guy who has maybe not an illustrious amateur career, but has fought pro, probably has been fighting pro since he's been, you know, 15, 16 years old in Mexico. So when I fought Cantu, I got clicked in one of the rounds. You know, it was going my way, and I got clicked pretty good, and it stunned me a little bit. So then I started to, that done woke me up, Don and Shelly. That woke me up, and I figured I just wanted to start applying the pressure that I had to. You can't just box on the outside and have fun. And so he clicked me and said, okay, this is a real fight. This is a live guy for sure. And, you know, I'm fighting a guy that had more fights with me. And then I dropped him and dropped him again. And I think I dropped him a few times. In that building, it was like a gymnasium. So everybody was sitting like at the old Los Angeles fights where they'd be sitting up and they'd look almost be looking down on the ring. It just, the atmosphere was electric. And so I brought out of that fight that I can still stand in there and fight with, well, to never take an opponent lightly. And I didn't take him lightly, but it made sure that I made sure I didn't take him lightly, knowing that his experience in fighting all the best lighter weight fighters out there in Mexico, that was tremendous experience. So fighting me, he came up here to ring my bell for sure, and to go home and know that he put up a great fight against me. And tough. He was a tough fight. I took out of that fight, Don and Shelly, just that I couldn't take anybody for granted, that to make sure I stuck with what I was, what my style was, because I was boxing a bit on the outside. I was having some fun, landing some jabs, which I would never really throw any jabs for. And so once I got dinged, it was like, okay, wake up and get back to doing what you're doing, or you're going to lose the fight.
It's always been one of my
favorite
fights. That was at McEwen. Wow. Wasn't that at McEwen College in Edmonton?
Yeah, they had just built it. So I was like the opening thing that ever happened in that school, I think. I don't think they had classes there. But all of a sudden, I was opening up this building, and I hadn't even heard of it. They say, well, where are you from? Scotty, you're fighting at Grant McEwen College. And where? Because I didn't know about it, I just say that I might not be the one that opened it up, but I always say I was. Yes.
You know, we talked this afternoon, and you know, we kind of came up with an idea that we would kind of bring up some stories from the days of Scotty Olsen, the Bulldog, being in California.
Wow, yeah.
You know, what were those moments like? You know, the young warrior from Canada coming to another country and really getting, I would say, your feet wet in the sweet science down there in California. What did those moments mean to you, and how did they add to the Bulldog?
Well, for me, I was more like a West Coast fighter as a pro, being promoted by Top Rank and Bob Arum, and my matchmaker was Bruce Trampler and Lee Samuels, my publicist, or our publicist. So I had just such great support with a great company. And the only time I fought in California, and it was a few times, but I fought was at the LA Forum. So fighting there was for me, it was just big time boxing. I'd fought in some of the casinos, of course, in Vegas, and but fighting at the Forum, that was just ridiculously cool. I thought I'd for sure hit the big time with that, and I just loved the crowds. You know, the crowds weren't always cheering for me 100% like they would in Vegas or my hometown in Edmonton. It was a mixed crowd, so you would have some people cheering for me and a lot of people cheering for, which was always a Spanish or Latino fighter or somebody from Mexico that I was fighting. So it was neat because I always tried to win the fans over to my side. And I think the Mexican fans really enjoyed watching my fights because I did bring it. You know, they knew I wasn't going I'm trying not to say anything too vain, but I think they appreciated watching me fight, and when Latinos and the Mexican fans would enjoy watching me fight, that gave me a great sense great sense of happiness.
Yeah. Mm. So Shelly, I'm going to let you ask a couple more if you'd like to know.
I remember the days at the Great Western Forum. I practically lived there. I just couldn't get enough of that place. Antonio Curtis was a matchmaker. Remember him back then? And he matched the best fights. He didn't care who won or lost, if it was his guy or the other guy, but he put them in there together. And they were the Jorge Perez. And it was just the best of times for me as far as the fight game goes. Las Vegas is the boxing capital of the world, but nothing is better than the Great Western Forum. Maybe perhaps the Olympic Auditorium, which I never was able to grace. I never was able to go in there. But the farm was certainly awesome. Certainly awesome.
Oh,
tell me, how do your children feel about your being a boxer?
Well, I think the novelty kind of wears off. I try not to let them forget that I was not a bad fighter in my day. You know, and you know, I have these two daughters, and I did. So I don't have sons, and if I had more kids, well, they would be all girls too. So I've been blessed with that, and you know, I don't have a son to put a lot of pressure on to say, hey, you know, you got to be a fighter, and you know, and so having the girls, they just want to they don't even want my help with anything. Like, if it's trying to get a job or trying to do anything, like they want to always have that. They have that sort of same spirit that I had when I wanted it so badly for myself, but they don't want my help with it. So they want to feel that they've accomplished whatever it is, you know, it can be anything without my involvement. So yeah, that's
kind of independent, just like if you came over, you trained them right.
If you came to my house, you would never know I was a former boxer, because there isn't a stitch of anything that says I was a fighter. I had downstairs a few posters once I posted on one of my, but they came down. So I just don't have any like things. So boxing is, you know, I've always, they're proud. You know, they're proud of me and for things that I've done. And I think some things are pretty cool. You know, I went to the Olympics and those kind of stuff. But it's, I don't know. It's just neat to have girls. I had brothers. I grew up with a guy family, and I didn't even understand what girls were even about. So, and it's just the different wiring and different stuff, and I still struggle with it today. My girls are 19 and 21, and we're still trying to get things straightened out.
It's wonderful for a little girl to have her daddy that was a boxer. I mean, how cool is that? No, that's the best. I was an only child, so I had to be the oldest and the youngest, and I had the boy and the girl, and so I just kind of did all of that. So I just tie a little bit around all the boxing gloves I have hanging all over my house to show, okay, well, there's this side of me, and then there's that side of me. People just shake their heads when they walk out of my house. I'm like, oh, Lord, there she goes again. I'm sure they're very, very proud of you, Scotty. I'm sure they are.
I like to think so. But we just, I just don't focus on that part too much. Like, you know, I just, you know, it was a great time in my life. I just don't advertise it quite as much as I probably should. And I'm proud of the things that I was able to do. But you have to be a little careful with pride and how happy you are in accomplishments. Sometimes you got to kind of, you know, regress a little bit and to maintain a little bit of humility. And I've tried to teach that to the girls but still being proud of accomplishments. You know, it's kind of a hard thing to do, to be proud of your accomplishments, but not to let that go to your head. So I think we're all pretty grounded now.
Do you find that you're able to spend your time mentoring some of the up-and-coming fighters in Canada?
I have a little bit. I have, you know, Shelley.
That's so awesome.
You know, I've put some back. I've put some back, but I know there's going to be a little bit of time. I knew that. I had this feeling that, you know, my daughters, when they were young, instead of going right out of my boxing career and continuing as a full-time trainer, you know, if I was going to be spending time with kids, you know, I just thought to myself, you know, I'm going to spend that time with my own kids, and because I know that the discipline and the sacrifices that are made to be a long time coach, to be a coach, and you know, I just wasn't quite willing to give other kids all of my time. So now, now what I do is I go down to some of the gyms, and even in my hometown, once in a while, nobody knows me except for maybe the coaches. So the fighters don't know me. So I go to the gyms and I give some tips. That way I can do it for free and I don't have to charge anybody, and I'm not, a full-time trainer. So I like to offer tips and just a few things like that. That's what I'm capable of right now. You know, I don't multitask very well as I used to. I had some health issues as well, and so on. Some of my short-term memory, I have that as a loss. So it's better that I'm not a full-time trainer, for sure. It's better for me right now. But there might be a time.
Those little pearls of wisdom that you drop for those kids, though, trust me, they'll never forget them.
Oh, I do have a few people that have said a few things that I might not remember meeting them or really working with them, but I've been stopped, you know, in the malls and different places like that. That just brings it just, and I'm with all the people you've worked with as well, Shelley, and with you, Don, and I'm sure that so many people come up to you and can bring back a few memories and I don't know. It is wonderful stuff when people can stop and ask or say a few things to you in appreciation for a few words you might have said to them. For that, mm-hmm. for them to remember, it's amazing. That's quite a compliment. So,
go ahead, Shelley.
Oh, I was just going to say they knew that you knew what you were talking about, because after all, you became a champion with that knowledge. And sometimes a trainer can just go blah 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 blah, and they don't hear a darn thing. But when it comes from somebody who's been in the ring and has won a belt, they're going to listen. That's just how it is. I think that's so awesome that you do that. I know you'll continue doing it too.
Yes, I will, Shelley. And Don, I will. I absolutely.
Scotty's
agree.
So humble, Shelley. I would say it, he's gonna kill me, but I love the little guy.
He's right up there with George Shivallo as far as Canadian greats in our mind, right, Don?
Oh, most definitely. You know, Scotty, we talked about the transition from California. You know, Western Forum. Because I don't look at, I think everything is a lesson. And at the Great Western Forum, you learned a significant lesson against Jorge Luis Román. And a year later, you would come back and you would fight him for the IBO World Flyweight title.
Mm-hmm.
And beat it.
Yep.
What was it that you took to heart, champ? What was it that the Bulldog pulled from that first encounter?
The first encounter. Yeah. That's a big fight at the Forum, because I had lost the first loss I had. I worked my record up to 23-0, 18 by knockout, and I fought in Phoenix, and I broke my hand early in a 12-round fight, and against a real tough guy, a guy that a lot of fighters didn't want to fight at that time. His name was Jose Luis Tejeda. So that really brought me a little bit down, and because it was my very first loss, but I bounced back with some wins, and then all of a sudden I get this opportunity to fight Jorge Román. He was the younger brother, I guess, of another Román fighter that was actually world super flyweight champion. So anyway, the fight with Román, put him down in the first or second round, put him down really good. But I had broken my hand in a couple places. So I boxed my socks off. I couldn't really throw my hand, the right hand anymore. So I was throwing it very hesitantly, and I'm sure I won that fight, and I that cost me an opportunity at that time against Carbajal, and it would have been a little bit of a bigger fight at that time. Had I won, I would have, you know, been, I guess, whether it be the Zepeda fight in the Jose Luis Zepeda fight in Phoenix or the Roman fight. The Roman fight, I feel that I lost one opportunity to fight Carbajal when I lost my first fight. Roman was my second fight, so was the second fight that I had lost. And I thought I won, and I felt really, really cheated out of that. So I boxed myself. I went outside of my comfort zone and boxed him really well. I boxed him really well, and I should have won that fight, but I didn't get it. So I don't know. I was pretty. It taught me that you know, remain humble and your time will come. You know. So when I won this IBO title, I wasn't getting any title shots. You know, all the title shots, the IBF, and mostly we were trying to get the IBF title fight with Top Rank, and I couldn't get it. And I was number two in the world for quite a while, and I wasn't the number one contender, and they didn't want to fight me. So once I got into, won the IBO title, which they allowed me to fight for, so I won that one. I wanted to face Roman again, so The first fight I could fight, I think I had a tune-up fight, and then I fought him for the first time. I think it was the first time I defended my title. So and I beat him that fight. Still broke my hand, but I beat him a lot more decisively.
Bring that left Roman in addition to that trademark right of yours.
I did a few things to Roman in the second fight. The second fight was pretty good. The first fight was good because the right hand I clinked him with was amazing. And I remember the referee at that time. You know, there was a couple, but he didn't know I broke my hand when I put Roman down at the LA Forum. He didn't know it broke so badly. It was broken in two places, and then all of my metacarpals had dislocated, so I had four metacarpals that were dislocated in the fight. It was horrible. And so I could have swore I heard the referee say to me once, "Hey, throw the right hand again." I could have sworn he said something like that. And you know, so I had all the support there. Just, it was like, no, I'm not throwing it. It's hurting too bad, man. So, yeah. But yeah, that the LA Forum, that was an interesting place. You know, Vegas was what was tremendously good to me. That was even more than the attention and fanfare I got from my hometown here in Canada. You know, Vegas was so special. I had 12 fights in Nevada. I had a total of 12 fights in Nevada. I knocked out 12 guys.
Wow.
10 fights.
How many times did you fight at the Forum?
About three. Yeah,
they're rabid. When they're your fans at the Forum, I think I still have my Forum boxing jacket in my closet somewhere if it still fits me. Yeah, that was the greatest place.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I wish it would come back. Do you think it'll ever come back?
Yeah.
Hope so.
I don't know. You know, they have the fan base there. The fan base is there. Just the fan base has changed a little bit with a lot of, you know, so the kind of catering to a younger audience. You know, I think boxing will continue to grow, and hopefully, you know, I'd love to see more fights down in Los Angeles. Now was that in Anaheim, wasn't it? So I was pretty close to Los Angeles.
The Forum was in Inglewood.
Yeah,
the Forum was in Inglewood.
That's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, thank you.
By the LA International Airport.
Yes.
It's where I grew up as a child. I grew up in Culver City, so it was just right around the corner.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know. I mean, because you were born in that right there.
Right.
You were born in California.
I was born there.
Yeah.
Little did I know. I'd be living at the Forum. I love that place. Just love that place. Oh,
well,
gosh. Those were the days. I love going down memory lane. I guess I'm old. I love it.
Oh,
love it. I love it.
You're not old,
I've become
friend.
One of those
yes,
old people that just reiterate all of my boxing stories.
But that's what the show is meant to be, right? That's what this whole thing is supposed to be. It's not supposed to be what the 99,000 other shows out there. The show is supposed to be an expression of appreciation and respect and just...
Very few, look, Don, very few interviews are like that, may I say? And may I also say, I've done an interview or two over the last 30 years of my life in the sport of boxing, and of all, you are my very, very favorite, bar none.
You're going to make me cry twice on my show in one night. That's not
don't,
a, that's
not,
not
no
fair.
Crying, no crying. You and Scotty are always crying. What's with you two?
I so respect that, Shelly, that you said that, and I feel very, very the same. So, Don, you're very beloved, my friend.
I truly appreciate
yeah.
it. You know, I wanted to make tonight special for both of you. I know the sport is, it's in our blood. It's who we are. We grew around the sport. And, you know, Shelly, you said something in my interview with you earlier. You tried to leave the sport many times. I've tried many times. I don't think we can decide when we leave the sport. I think the sport decides when it leaves us.
Mm, that's deep,
and,
but you're right.
You know, because I'm right there with you. I've tried to quit more times than I could shake a stick, but... You know, Scotty, if you could tell Shelly what difference a person like her has created in your path in this sport, what would those words be, my brother?
Awesome. Well, your involvement, Shelly, encompassed so many facets of the game, so like every facet there was, because you were doing like everything. You managed fighters, you reported fights, like journalism kind of stuff, and publicist work, just like Lee Samuels would do for Top Rank. And have you worked like corners before as well?
Yes,
like
I'm proud to say I carried spit buckets. Not a problem.
Oh, you did?
My little pink fingernails.
Yeah, like, honestly, all
my
I did, Shelly. Shelly, all I did was fight, and you did everything. So anybody who is going to invest so much time and so much of a great percentage of their life into boxing in all the capacities, you don't even, you know, fighters aren't the ones that sort of were so much the trailblazers. It's the people that put the time in and to match make fights, to help in the promotion of fights, to be journalists, to let the fans know that of certain talents that are out there or fights that are interesting. You know, anytime you're reporting and photography, you know, with you, Don, and all of things, nice things you've done, you've both set stages that not just myself, but all fighters, and particularly ones that you might have a little more... that you may have written about or covered a little bit more. You know, that sets the stage for us fighters to at least have a chance to have a day in the sun, to jump in the ring and to enjoy ourselves, and for the fans to enjoy fights and have a little familiarity between the fighter and the fans, you know, that's huge. That's huge. And so, you know, I think that with your involvement, Shelly, you encompass so much. So I believe that just helped so many fighters. Like, it's not for sure, not just me, but I still reap the benefits on that. That's on things. Yeah.
Certainly my honor. Thank you.
Thank you.
Shelly, and I'm going to put you on the spot because, you know, you're a tremendous lady. You relish the true heart of a champion, and you understand the sport greater than probably even I do. But Scotty has been a significant in this sport. He's a tremendous champion. Let's face it, he's the bulldog.
Yeah.
If you had any words of reflection that Scotty may have added to your life or intent that he may have given you, what words of reflection would you give to Scotty?
I would probably say it had to have been difficult. You fought at lower weights. Many times people just want to see the heavyweights, but you stepped in the ring. That's where you got the name Bulldog, because you were tenacious and you made people want to enjoy fights at the lower weight classes because you showed them how to rumble. They didn't know that. Very few of the fighters at the lower weight, sometimes they just didn't give the excitement to the fight that you did. And it was appreciated. We remember you. We will always remember you.
Wow. Wow. That's thank you. Thank you very much for that.
This is what life is
about. That's amazing.
Yeah,
that's
amazing. It's beautiful, isn't it, Scotty? See, that's I like doing things like this on my show because, you know, we're all so busy most of the time that sometimes we forget to just tap somebody on their shoulder and tell them what they truly mean to us or how much we appreciate them. And the reason I bring this up is because the world truly needs to know that we can all be this way. And we all need to be that way. God doesn't promise us tomorrow. He doesn't promise us 10 minutes from now.
Yeah.
So it's great to be able to tell those that have changed your life, made a difference in your life, gave you those words of wisdom and that push to keep you going.
Yeah.
Because you never know what tomorrow may bring. On that note, you know, I kept Shelly on the show so long, and it was tremendous for me because I'm not feeling the greatest in the world, but I wanted to give both of you such an enlightened moment, a moment to share with each other, a moment to cross-correlate thoughts.
We had a blast, didn't we, Scotty?
Oh, Shelly, Don, thank you so much for you know, having me on, and then this. I won't even call it significant. Tremendous bonus of me being able to say a few words with Shelly and stuff. That's rock star stuff. I just love it.
I think Scotty would join me in telling you, Don, that we're so loved by so many in this boxing community. We thank you for spending your life lifting other people up. We love you very much.
I love both of you. And, you know, Young people that are listening, take heed to this. Don't take tomorrow for granted.
No. Amen.
You know, I want to thank both of you so much for joining the show with me this evening. Like I said, you know, I'm not top-notch right now, but I'm a firm believer that the show must go on. And to be able to share a night with both of you has put a big smile on my face, a great depth of warmth in my heart. I want to thank you both for coming on the show this evening. You know, Scotty, before, don't hang up yet, Scotty, but...
That's wonderful, Don.
Shelley, I'm going to pass the mic to you. And if you have any words for the people in your life, or just anything else that you would like to add to the show before I let you go, the floor is yours, my friend.
Oh, gosh. It would probably be, I'm guilty of it, and I would probably tell other people coming up in the sport to just stop and smell the roses and enjoy the moment rather than looking ahead to the next thing. Enjoy the moment. That's what I would say.
Wow.
That's beautiful.
And also to keep a diary, to keep a diary from day one to step into the fight game, take that book with you. And every fight, every press conference, every weigh-in, jot a little something. And then when you look back on it 25 years later, you'll get a pretty good laugh taking that all walk down memory lane all by yourself.
Oh, yeah. I truly love that. Shelley,
yeah.
When God made you, he broke the mold.
That's true.
Thank you.
I can't wait for me to get healthy so I can do a much better show. But, you know, like I said, the show must go on. And this is what keeps me going. So thank you so much.
Well, this was my favorite. This was my favorite show of all time that I've done. So I think you're doing a great job. How about you, Scott? I think he's doing a great job.
Just tremendous. And you're a bit under the weather, and you're going through some stuff right now, Don, and I have you in such high regard, where so many things could have happened with anybody else. I could have been, if they were not feeling that well and up to par, they wouldn't be having a show. And you like you've said, the show must go on, but it always isn't the case. But you've made the show go on by you going through your stuff, but you're still doing what you love to do, and you're still shining a spotlight on other people, and that's that's really special.
That's what real fighters do. Like I said before,
love you both. I truly do.
I love you too.
Thank you, Shelley. I truly appreciate you coming on, and I look forward to the next time, my friend.
Me too.
Thank you so
much,
Don.
Thank you very
much.
God bless you, Don. God bless you, Scotty.
God bless you too, Shelley. No, I look forward to seeing you. I'm going to come to Vegas, and I'm going to see you.
Yes, you better. I'll be waiting. I'll leave a light on for you.
I love that. Thank you, Shelley, so much. God bless you.
Okay. Good night, gentlemen.
Okay. Good night, Shelley.
Well, Scotty, I told you I was going to make tonight special.
Wow. Wow, was that ever special. Wow. That was lovely. Absolutely lovely. You know, I'm sorry if I got off track a little bit, you know, with some things, but, you know, I get so excited, man, to share a few things with Shelley and share some more stuff with you. You know, it's just been nice to be able to when it comes down to having a day in the sun, in the fighting in the ring, that was one thing. When you become a former and retired fighter and get this kind of a day in the sun, it's way more special.
You're a special person, Scotty. You know, and you're my brother. If I can't have you on the show and share a little bit of you, then what good is life, you know? Life is about giving back to the people that you respect, and you've truly made a big difference in my life. You know, Scotty, we talked about so many things tonight, and we covered so many things, and I think it was just, it was tremendous having Shelley stay on the show and help me interview you. But I'm going to hand you the mic, Scotty.
Yeah.
If there's anything you would like to say to your friends, your family, or just any other aspect that you would like to add to the show before we wrap things up, sir, what would those words be, brother?
Thank you so much for that, Don. You know, when it comes down to the boxing part, I would like everybody to know that I certainly tried to win every fight and tried to win every fight. And that was important. Even winning was secondary to making sure that the fans were going to have a good fight. Chances are if I fought well, then I did win and entertain the crowd. But entertaining the fans was really personally my number one thing. I had more fun having people enjoy watching me do something, and that was a blessing. They got to see me do my job and enjoyed it, and that just gave me a lot of happiness. So for all my friends, we got a lot of listeners from a lot of places tonight, and you know, I didn't just fight to win. I always tried to win, but I've always wanted to entertain the crowd. And that, you know, even in the fights I lost, I'd go up to my trainer after the fight, and it wasn't what, you know, do you think I won the fight or anything like that? My first question to my team was always, did the fans like it? And that was always the most important thing to me. So if you appreciate or like watching me fight, that puts a huge smile on my face. You know, I'm glad if I could have, that I was able to entertain a little bit.
You certainly did, my friend. That's why Shelley brought up the point. You know, a lot of people like the light heavyweight and heavyweight, but they named you the Bulldog for a reason. That's because you entertained the crowd. You showed the world. You were one hell of a fighter with a left hook that you didn't know you had, brother. You know, Scotty, I love you. I
love you too, Don.
You. Thank you so much for coming on the show this evening. I'll have you hang up on your end because I called you in on an encrypted line. And,
okay.
Before I let you go, I love you, brother. I'll give you
a
call, and we'll get you back on in a little while when I'm feeling a little bit more up to it, and we'll talk a little bit more.
That's perfect, Don. Thank you. I love you, and thanks for taking this time, not feeling 100%, and you know, you're going through some stuff, of course, health-wise, and you're still giving the sport attention. You're giving former fighters and former people in the sport attention, and it's very appreciated.
The appreciation is all mine. Thank you, brother. I love you. You have a good night.
Love you too.
Take
care. God bless. Bye-bye.
Just my children and my wife. Thank my lucky stars to be living here today. 'Cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. there ain't no doubt I love this land.